before God's throne in prayer this morning together. God, our Father, we thank you so much for your presence here with us. We thank you, as the hymn says, that you are our friend. We can count on you, that you're with us at all times. And Lord, we just thank you for the promise that you will never leave us or forsake us. Lord, we just thank you for celebrations, and we thank you for James's birthday. We thank you for the wonderful time that was held here together. And Lord, we just thank you for the message that was preached and for the bountiful spread of food. Lord, you provide for everything, and we just can't thank you enough for the blessings that you bestow upon us. Lord, we're so undeserving of your gift of salvation, yet you paid the price and gave your life as a sacrifice for us. So we just thank you for not only the provisions you give to us, but for the gift of eternal life, that we have something so wonderful to look forward to. And Lord, we just thank you for that guarantee of being with you forever when we pass from this life. Lord, we thank you that while we're here, we can serve you, and we thank you for the opportunities that you give us to be your servants in this world, to be your lights in the darkness. And Lord, we just ask that you help us to be bolder, help us to not be afraid to speak out for you, but Lord, help us to share your word, your love, and give to others in tangible ways at every opportunity that you present before us. Lord, we know that it's easy to sometimes question our ability or question, you know, whether we should act when a situation arises. But Lord, just prompt us. Prompt us with your Holy Spirit that lives within us so that we can be your hands and feet and show your love and to others in every opportunity that you set before us. Lord, we just thank you for the jobs we have. We thank you for the provision that you provide for us in our material ways with food and shelter and clothing. Lord, help us to be generous to others and to look for those opportunities to share what we have. Lord, we thank you for this church and this community. And Lord, we just thank you for Pastor James and his birthday celebration and for the ministry that he's conducting here. We're so thankful that you brought him to us as our pastor. We thank you for your faithfulness for the time that we were without a pastor. And Lord, we just thank you for just the presence of the church in our community. We pray for people within our community that don't know you, and we just pray that you will prompt them to seek out what is happening in this church and walk through the doors. Lord, help us to be loving and receiving of anybody that comes through, and show your love in the ways that you want us to do that. So, Lord, we just thank you for the opportunities that do present themselves here. But, Lord, help us to also be looking for opportunities in our individual lives and in our individual neighborhoods as well, and even within our families. We all have people in our families that don't know you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, help us to be those witnesses, that witness and that love that only is evidence of you in our lives. So we just ask you to help us to be more like you and more loving. Lord, we pray for our churches in our convention that are worshiping this morning all across Ontario and Quebec. We pray for churches within our city of all denominations that are truly following you as Lord and Savior. We just pray that you will bless their services this morning. Lord, we pray for this world and our missionaries. Lord, there's so many countries and places in this world where your name is not even heard of, and we just, it's hard to believe that with all the communication we have nowadays, but Lord, you know those areas and you can bring that message. So help us to support that work, just because we may not be able to be the ones traveling to remote places in the world, but there are missionaries there. Help us to be supportive of not only the missionaries through our CBOQ, but the missionaries in all different parts of the world, and give us those opportunities to support them with our finances. Lord, we just thank you for this service this morning. We also pray for each person in our church family that's not here this morning, whether people are traveling through the summer months or whether people are ill. We pray especially for Millie, who's in rehab for the broken hip. We pray for Mary with her knee. We pray for Jim Gardner, who has had some illness. So, Lord, we just, and for Carol, Lord, there's needs within our church family that we may not even be aware of, Lord, but you know each one. So, Lord, we just ask you for your healing touch on Kathy, on Deborah. Lord, you know the names of the people that need that healing power in their lives. And, Lord, we just ask for continued restoration and improvement in health situations. We just lay all of those concerns at your feet, Lord, and we know we can trust you to answer with your healing touch. So, Lord, as we continue in the service, we just thank you for James and the message that you've laid on his heart. We just thank you for the opportunity to be here, and we just pray that you will speak to us through the scripture that's read and through the message that's spoken. Lord, just enrich this time as we share in worship together. And I pray that all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So we're going to continue with some praise songs, and we're going to start with well-known one, How Great is Our God. And you can stand if you're able.
Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 to 20. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Every one of us, I want to thank you for those who are able to make it yesterday and those who are unable to, but then your love, your care, and your good wishes came along. And I also thank God for those who prayed, have always prayed, and keeps on praying for me and for our church. It's always a good thing to be able to reflect on life and thank God for the privilege of being amongst the living. I always say something, dead people can't complain. Only living people do. So we should thank God for the opportunity to be able to complain sometimes because we're still alive. Can you imagine finding yourself at a funeral and then while in the midst of the service, the coffin start vibrating and then the one inside just does poof and it opens. Not a lot of us will stay behind. Many persons will run out first and pray back inside if they would. The reason is because, and then you hear the person say, I don't like this place you guys have put me. I don't like the shirt you put on me. I don't like the shoes. Dead people don't complain. Only living people do. So sometimes when we have the opportunity amidst life challenges, we should still be grateful because we have life, which is the greatest of all gifts. So I am thankful and I thank everyone. Ambassador, Baptist Church, thank you. Thank you for being a part of the story of James on his 50th birthday. So I'm grateful. Apart from my family back there in Ghana, I always say, these are my people. And I say that with utmost joy and a sense of responsibility. Thank you for caring. Thank you for the support. Thank you for the prayers. And thank you for coming alongside doing ministry. It's always a journey. The journey is still far. But then we're taking a step each day. So this morning, in Paul's writing to the church in Philippi, he draws our attention to a prayer. So I'll be talking about a prayer for gracious giving. A prayer for gracious giving. We're still talking about the issue of giving, giving to ourselves, giving to the church, giving to the needy, giving on different fronts. I said that's something I just want us to explore over and again so that we kind of try to tell ourselves from a balanced place what, in terms of giving, God would expect from us as New Testament people so that we don't put our minds solely on a God who is kind of looking out so that we'll make mistakes and then he'll deal with us. No. And not as a God who demands, like this heavy demand that, you know, no. God wants us to relate with him from a place of love. And once we understand that, place of love and grace, then every other thing would, you know, flow in a better way. So Paul the Apostle writes this epistle. We call it a Pauline epistle. The word epistle is just letters. And so he writes this letter. Where did he write? He's one of the prison letters. And so he's writing to this church. This is him now in prison having the opportunity to reflect on his ministry and his life, having the opportunity to connect with the churches. He, in one of the writings, he did say that he is in chain, but the word of God is not in chain. And so even behind bars, he never spent time just worrying about the fact that he has been restricted, his movement, his freedom had been held down. But then he comes to write letters to those who are outside the bar, people who are free, and encouraging them as to why they should be able to serve God. And also that they don't need to pity him because he is a bond servant of Christ. So if he's in prison, he's just in prison for Christ's sake. And he calls himself a prisoner of Christ. So that whatever incarceration will do with people's mindset, for him, that was not the issue. Because he was there, as far as he was concerned, serving God's purpose, being a blessing to those in prison, and still be able to reach out to those who are outside. And you see, the tone of his letter did not show any form of sadness, which you would expect from somebody in prison, or anger, or bitterness towards God. You could see that he had gratitude, there was no despair, and he had joy. And so, when we look at our lives, we need to find places and things that we are still thankful for, in spite of how life may be hitting or touching us. And I would always say that not everything comes palatable. Not everything comes so easy and good. Even some people say not everything comes rosy. But I always say, yes, everything comes rosy. But the rose itself comes with turns. So that the beautiful flower that we want to sniff of the rose that is sold, and people will say, oh, thank you. Oh, that's loving. Those beautiful petals came out of turns. And it has to be cut off for you to be able to handle it that way. In its freshness, if you go and just try to grab it that way and you're not watchful, the thorn will stick, pierce into your hands. And so, even the rose, the beauty that we have of it stems out of turns. And so when we understand that, then we know that no matter how life turns out, there's still beauty that can be seen and appreciated, that God works all things together for our good. And so why would we choose to the work of God? Why would we want to do mission, evangelism, outreach? Why would we want to take out time to serve and to worship in spite of so many things that are going on all over? Issues that are real, not fictitious. And I have come to appreciate people have real problems, real challenges. Sometimes, yes, some people could cook up things, but there are a lot of people who are struggling, fighting with things, and those things could be legal enough as a reason why we don't see or feel like we should give to God's work, God's mission, evangelism, worship, service. Why? If I'm dealing with all this stuff, why should I? Only one reason I always love to stress above others. You're still alive. That's the greatest reason. There are people who are very wealthy, but they passed on. Their money could not buy them the life that you and I have. The people who are powerful, they commanded armies and soldiers. They commanded nations. They commanded what happened in certain places. People could not speak. The fear and the dread of them was enough to make people feel terrorized. But they are dead anyway. Many of them lived and they've gone. And so to be alive is the greatest gift that we must not de-emphasize. Secondly, especially for those of us who have received Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior, then we have what I'll call not just the greatest, but the one that is indescribable, the priceless gift of salvation, that we who were once sinners, we who were aliens to God, we who could have and were described in Scripture as being far from God and enemies of God, have now become His friends. Not because we are the best of men or women, but because He is God, generous, magnanimous, merciful, gracious, and kind in allowing His Son to die for us. And if He could, and if He did, then there is nothing too much, especially out of what He has given to us, that we cannot bring back to Him. And so, Paul the Apostle kind of reflects, and he starts by saying, of all the churches, only you, the church in Philippi, took out time when you came in contact with the gospel, when the Lord met with you, when God used us to minister to your life and you became saved. You saw in yourself the redemptive work of God and you made up your mind to support our mission, outreach, evangelistic feat. It said, no other church did what you had done. Can you imagine? Paul did not say that other churches were not saved, but he said, somehow, in his own words and testimony, they did not support His mission efforts. They believed in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Some of them never saw. You know, there's a school of thought of people who thought, no, only the Jewish people should be saved. These Gentiles do not need to be saved. And so when you even had Gentiles that were coming to the faith, it was a struggle for some of those. Even Peter was very careful at the time. He didn't want to associate with the Gentiles because the Jewish Christians will not appreciate that, because they felt we are the firstborn of God. And these other people, they don't need to have that opportunity to join the family. But Paul, unlike Peter, was really an apostle to the Gentiles. And if we look at the word, the Gentiles, that means all of us today. Just imagine that people like Paul and some others never took up that assignment to move beyond Jerusalem, Judea, to come to the uttermost part of the earth, which would have been described to be, then we will not even be seated here today. We will not be talking about having the Bible. We will not be talking about knowing Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So Paul says, I appreciate you because it was your church, your congregation, your believers who saw that the mission of Christ, the evangelistic effort, the outreaches that we had to do, was important enough not just to be prayed for, but to support with your finances. And he was commending them in prison while he was reflecting over his ministry and the impact it had done. So there is a relationship between giving and receiving. We ought to be partners in fulfilling the ministry of Christ. So our giving is partnership with God's mission on the earth. Our giving is what? Partnership with God. So for every opportunity that we have to give to support his work, sometimes in a specific mindset of saying, no, I'm giving towards mission, I'm giving towards evangelism, I'm giving towards outreach. That's one thing. But then there's the other part, that when we give to the church does get involved as part of her ministry to make sure mission, evangelism, outreaches, and other services are done. And so our giving is partnership with God. Paul the apostle was helping them to know that, look, concerning giving and receiving, you are the only people. Can you imagine having, let's look at Windsor, and we say we have this big numbers of churches, and Apostle Paul is this mission person, and he says, only one church. Only one congregation. Only you guys. The church in Philippi were the ones who supported. So the church in the other areas, we don't know what they did, but it was obvious they didn't give. And he said, not just that alone, too. He said, you gave not just once. In essence, it became something that they did time and again, or seasonally, if you put it that way. They were deliberate in making sure that they gave towards mission. They were deliberate in making sure that the evangelistic work of Christ was moved on. Church planting was done. People were supported. Things that helps for people to come to the saving knowledge of Christ and establish communities of faith where they can grow, where they can discover their gifts, develop their gifts, and be deployed through discipleship for Christ and serving the community as transformed people who are now in the image of Jesus. Paul was thanking, appreciating, and testifying of them. But you see, much more than Paul's testimony, for those of us today, what we need to ask ourselves, can God testify of me in the same way? Because Paul was given voice to a divine commendation, so that those of us who will read in years to come, we can see what it means to be engaged with giving as it has to do with God's work. Gracious giving. So Paul calls them and shares so that other churches would know these are good examples of gracious giving in supporting God's work. Generous people. Paul was also helping them to realize what they may not have known. You know, it's possible for them not that they may not have known that other churches did not give to support the missionary journey of Paul. They may just be assuming that, well, as we're giving, others are giving. But the good part is this. Even if they assume that other churches were given to Paul, that did not stop them or discourage them from giving to support that missionary work. I hope you understand. I remember some years ago, a scenario. Somebody was to give a gift to me. That's how I'll describe it. So that, and then, while the person was already, and had mentioned to me and said, I'll be giving you this gift. I said, okay, thank you. Interestingly, as the person was about to give me that gift, another person also came with a gift. You know what the person told me? After that person stepped away, said, Pastor, since somebody has given you a gift already, I'm not going to give you that gift again. I said, okay, that's okay. But then I'm asking myself, that shouldn't stop you if you wanted to. But then, as always, it's okay. That doesn't worry me. Why? Maybe it will serve a better purpose for somebody else. So sometimes people do not give because they have this assumption that others are giving. So why do I need to give as well? Sometimes people do not help those who they may feel needs help because they believe others will help them. So Paul is saying that, let me tell you guys what you don't know, that what you have been doing have been a great source of encouragement to me to do this ministry. Because actually, the truth is that no other church supported me. Wow. That sounds strange. For those of us who are Baptist, one of the great things we also have as it deals with the mission of Christ is that we are within associations. And the concept of associations is to help us carry out some mission outreach work of Christ collectively. Majorly, it's because some churches individually may not be able to carry out certain things. But then when we bring funds together, then we are able to achieve that through those who we have chosen to represent us. And the idea is in the same mindset that collectively we can give into a single purse and be able to move the mission of Christ forward. And that's very important. And I know that as a church, we have always been a support of such. And I believe that each and every one of us, we have the opportunity to key more into such things. So he praised the example of being the only church, but he also went further to also appreciate the fact that it was consistent. It was not just a one-time thing, and that's the end. And there are so many reasons why people get discouraged from giving. Sometimes people don't give to church because they feel, I've said this before, maybe the funds are mismanaged. Some may feel that, I think it's all this funds goes to the pastor. And I said, thank God we are Baptists, so that doesn't happen. That's a beautiful thing. Number three, some people are having issues with God. They're looking at the life's challenges, life reality, and say, God, anyway, I'm going to hold this fund because we've not tried. You've not done well enough, so I'm holding this fund. It's my money. I keep it to myself. If you are taking care of everything I want you to take care of, maybe I'll do more. I see trying to get into a transactional mode with God. But then for such people, you need to realize that if you had to be on oxygen, I'm sure it's costly to pay for oxygen each day. For those who are on life support system, it's not cheap to be on oxygen every day. But then we take it with ease. Breathe in, breathe out, you know, just free of charge. Can you imagine we have to pay per second for the oxygen that we take every day? Not everybody will be able to afford that. And I'm sure some people will go and buy all the oxygen and become business people. And they'll sell it at a higher price because they have money to buy more and store somewhere. And then there are people who will not just store because they want to make more money so that they can show power. If they don't like you, you don't get oxygen. You don't get to breathe. You don't get to live. So they buy it off your reach so that you can be at their mercy. But you see, God in his own kindness gives us freely to enjoy our breath. Paul the Apostle was showing them that their giving has become something credited into their heavenly account. He said the reason why he was encouraging them was not because he was looking for something to enter his pocket. Not because he was looking for something to satisfy his own self, his own lust or, you know, request or wants or need. Rather, it was because he wanted this to be credited to their heavenly account. He's encouraging them to give. He did encourage them to give and to continue to do that so that their heavenly account can be credited. That means it becomes a divine investment, an heavenly investment, something that has eternal value and eternal reward. Just like we have earthly accounts, we also have heavenly account. God does not use money that we use here. God doesn't spend dollars. He doesn't. But there are things that money can be used for through the church that brings him glory. There are things that the monies that go into mission, evangelism, outreach, services do that are of eternal value because they are close to God's heart. Can you imagine Jesus leaving? And we would always remember the Great Commission. What does he say to his disciples? It says, go ye and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and he said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And he says also in Acts, he said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. So the heartbeat of God is the Great Commission. The heartbeat of God is that people be drawn to Jesus as he's lifted. And that comes, that's its assignment of the church. That's why God has put us here. That's why God's work spreads. That's why till so many generations from those 12 apostles and the immediate disciples who are like 500, the gospel has gotten to us. Because people funded it. People gave. People supported it through different means. And the mission of Christ, sometimes through academic pursuit, is being expanded because people are being trained. The gospel of Christ is being ministered as we do charity, welfare, and we touch lives. As we find ourselves in worship, and then the things, the bills, and needs to make sure that the structure and things are in place. As the church becomes a blessing to the community in our activities and the things that we do. So there are always ways through which these are done. And Paul says, it is credited to your account. Can I say that every giving that we do to for Jesus, he's actually being credited to our heavenly account before the Lord. Even though the church takes accountability, records it to your name, and then because of our charity status, yes, you get, you are able to get some tax stuff, which you can use. What do we call that thing? The receipt. Then there's the other word, tax deductible. That's the English word I was looking for. But you see, much more than that is that when we give, especially graciously to God's work, it's not about just giving to the church. It's about that God also credits that to our heavenly account. And there's no church that can give us that reward. No church. But God does. And he has never failed. And so Paul, the apostle, was drawing their attention that it was beyond him. It was about God. And so, what do we say? It means that we must motivate ourselves to understand that there are spiritual blessings. We must challenge ourselves that our giving is not solely for our personal gain, and it's not just about us. It's about God, who we are in partnership with, and he always rewards our giving to him, even beyond what any human person can do. So what does Paul say? He says to them, he said, all their giving have come before God as a sweet-smelling sacrifice. And that means he was drawing their attention because they understood what he was saying. When you go into the temple in the Old Testament, and when we read the stories, every sacrifice that is received before God, whether it was that of Noah or the ones of Samson's parents and some others, you would see as the smoke go up, they receive, you know, this commendation from God that your sacrifice has come before me as a sweet smelling aroma, a sweet smelling savor. And Paul the apostle is saying, your giving, my giving, he was telling them, their giving was a sweet smelling sacrifice unto God. And that means God takes pleasure in it. Two, he said to them that their giving fully supplied what was required for his missionary work. That the mission work has constantly progressed. Why? Because they gave over and again. And that when he received their gifts which Epaphroditus, that word is that name, that he brought, he said that kind of, it's like saying that paid the bill completely. And that's to say, there's a form of giving that is generous to the church, to the mission of Christ, that helps to satisfy the requirements of all that is done in carrying out the mission of Christ on the earth, in our own small space and corner. And he says, not just that, that giving that is gracious, that giving that comes from a heart for Christ and for the expansion of his kingdom and his mission here on earth is acceptable and pleasing to God. Acceptable and pleasing to God. It comes willingly. It comes voluntarily. It's a free will thing. Why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. Sometimes giving and being cheerful sometimes doesn't come together with ease. But Paul says that is something that is true. So, where does the gracious prayer or the prayer for the gracious giving comes in? My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's a scripture that people quote a lot today. It's good. It was not just a personal confession, but it was actually a pastoral prayer. It was a prayer from a man who God had put an assignment, and then he recognizing what God had done through these people, making the ministry that God has placed in his hands to flourish and to impact and progress as he should. And so in response, he's talking when he says, my God, the God of the one who he was the servant. This God, this man of God, this servant of God. He recognized that it wasn't about him. And he was helping them to know. He said, this God who chooses, this God who calls, this God who ordains, this God who blesses both they and him. And then he comes to the promise, supply. This God will supply all your needs. And those words are still true today. God still supplies our needs. And it's in a place of faith that we can graciously give, not because we have everything, but because we can look and say, God, you are my God. I trust you. I love you. I don't have everything I need, and definitely I don't have everything I want. But then I know you can supply, and truly only you can supply all my needs. And he says, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. According to his majesty, according to his divine resources, according to his splendor, not according to Canada's economy. Because if we need to look at the economy, not America or Canada or even globally, it becomes more difficult to want to do anything. And so my submission to us this morning is that our God shall supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. By who? by Christ Jesus. The same Christ who saved us. The same Christ who strengthens us. The same Christ who redeemed us. The same Christ who loves us. The same Christ who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still supplies needs. And I know that there are many of us here who have experienced this reality for the number of years that we've been serving God. My encouragement to those of us online and those of us here is that we cannot stop being gracious to God's work in our giving. But then also, we must know that God will not also fail in supplying his needs. We must also remember that God, we must be able to see heaven's record. And it's saying, even if others are not supporting by being gracious in their giving, I will. That was the testimony of Paul about the Philippian church. He said, you guys are the only one. And that means when it comes to gracious giving, it also has to do with you. It's not about others. It's about your decision to partner with God. Indirectly, you're also partnering with the church. But majorly, you're partnering with God. And he is superior to the church. As I close my mouth this morning, verse 20, he says, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So, as we give, as we trust him, as we support his mission efforts, outreach, evangelism, services, in whatever ways, we must always tell ourselves, it's not just about me. It's not just about just giving to the church. It's about supporting God's agenda on the earth. And would he be able to look at me, or would I be able to get his commendation to say, yes, in giving and receiving, others may not have, but you have. And then, can I get that credit in my heavenly account? It's possible. Would it be easy? Many a times it's not. I can tell you that. But then, in the midst of it, God wants us to respond to him by faith. And when we do, he's glorified. As I close my mouth this morning, I don't know whether you know the song. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. He will give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. He will give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. I pray that will be your song, your meditation, our song, our meditation. And in the midst of all, let it be said that God can count on us. Not because we have everything we want, but because we trust him and we choose to partner with him. Let us bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for this morning. We have a whole lot that goes on with us individually and sometimes as a family. But then we choose to be partners with you, Lord, that we can become the Philippians of today. Example to other believers, example to other churches of gracious giving. Not because we have everything figured out, but because we know that the primary assignment we are here, our life, is to see that your mission, evangelism, outreach and services impact our world, that people will be drawn to your love, that people will be drawn to your grace, that people will be ministered to till they come to repentance and receive who you are and what you have achieved on the cross. Lord, we ask today that we will not be discouraged, even when it seems if others are not given. We have chosen individually and collectively to be partners with you to achieve and fulfill your end time agenda of reaching our world for Christ. And Lord, as we do this, that our heavenly accounts will be credited and our focus will be on you. And Lord, you will supply all our needs because you are our God. According to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And Lord, to you be glory forever and ever. In our lives, in our church, and in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.